Turn with me, if you will, to the very last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. And we are going to go to the very last chapter in that book, chapter 22. And we are going to read the last verses of that book. Revelation 22, I am going to start reading at verse number 12. And I'm going to read through the end of the book. And if you have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. God's word says this, starting in Revelation 22, verse 12. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to render to every man according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the immoral persons and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things. For the churches, I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty, come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city, which are written in this book. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, these are the final words that you have revealed to your prophets to reveal to all of us from this great book, this book of Revelation. Father, I just ask that the words that have just been read, that we will all take them down into the depths of our hearts, that we will understand that we want and have a need to have our robes washed so that we can enter into that holy city. We might not know all the details, Lord, but we do know this, that your word continues and remains to be true. So, Father, as I speak here this morning, may my words be holy and pleasing to you. May they be encouraging to this congregation here today. And I ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Today, we're going to conclude this sermon series on end times overview. Remember, it's just an overview. There's nothing specific about what I've been talking about in this sermon series. We learned a new word, eschatology. Eschatology is the study of what the Bible teaches what is going to happen and what will occur in end times. So far in this study, we have encountered 8 different beliefs. I called them camps, 8 different views, with each one having their own Bible verses to support what they believe is going to happen in end times. A quick review of those 8 different camps. Way over here in camp number 1, we have what we call the full preterist, who believes that the book of Revelation was written before 70 AD, and therefore all the tribulation that happens in that book of Revelation, which is chapters 4 through 18, that has all occurred with the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. unfortunately, this camp number one, the full preterist, also believes that Jesus Christ has already come back a second time. And personally, I find that part of their belief system difficult for me to believe myself. But then we have camp number two, which we have the partial preterist, who also believes the book of Revelation was written before 70 AD. And once again, just like the full preterist, they believe all the tribulation in Revelation from chapters 4 through 18 has already occurred with the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. But that's where they stop. They do believe that Jesus Christ is going to return a second time. They just don't know when. Then we have those in camps 3, 4, and 5 who are primarily concerned about this thing called the millennium, this 1,000-year reign that we find in Revelation 20, verses 1 through 6. In camp number 3, we talked about these people 2 weeks ago. They are called the premillennialists. And they believe that one day Jesus Christ is going to return unexpectedly like a thief in the night. And he's going to return with a loud trumpet call, and it's going to be visible so everyone will be able to see him. After his return, Jesus Christ will reign for a literal 1,000 years on the face of this earth. And these folks take the 1,000-year millennium literally. Camp number 4, we have the post-millennialists. I said this, the founders of the Restoration Movement, the founders of the Disciples of Christ churches, the founders of the Churches of Christ, who are Barton Stone and Mr. Campbell, I forget his first name, Campbell and Stone, they were both post-millennialists. And they believed this, that it was up to Christians to make a concentrated effort to evangelize the world, because the millennial reign of Christ is the unification of the church and the proclamation of the gospel and the ultimate conversion of all the people of all nations. And this time of peace could be either a literal or a figurative 1,000-year reign. But that would be the millennium, the conversion of all peoples of all nations. And when that millennium is complete, be it figurative or literal, then Christ will return. As I told you 2 weeks ago, it was Alexander Campbell, that was his name. Alexander Campbell fell out of favor with his own view of post-millennialism when the Civil War began. Then in camp number 5, we have the people that are called amillennialists, who believe that the 1,000-year reign of Christ in Revelation is symbolic of the current church age, rather than a literal future 1,000-year reign. To the amillennialists, the figurative millennium, began at Christ's resurrection, that's when it started, and will continue until his second coming. So the millennium can be any length of time, and we are presently living within that millennial reign right now. Then last week we switched to 3 more views that are more commonly known among Christians today. And these people are what we call dispensationalists. And their primary concern is the 7-year tribulation and this literal 7-year tribulation and the literal 1,000-year reign of Christ on the face of this earth. The dispensationalists will believe in the rapture of the church, where all Christians will be taken away or snatched away or caught away up in the clouds with Jesus at something called the rapture of the church, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. These folks also believe that Israel and the church are 2 separate and distinct entities, that the church and Israel need to be considered different. So this camp of dispensationalists is actually broken down 3 ways. We have those who believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. They believe that the rapture of the church will occur before the 7 years of tribulation. So that means that Christians will not suffer or encounter any of the wrath of God in those 7 years of tribulation. And after that, Christ will reign for 1,000 years on the face of this earth. But some dispensationalists are mid-tribulation dispensationalists who believe that the Christians will not be raptured or caught out of here until midway through the tribulation, 3.5 years into it. So we will suffer half of the wrath of God, the first 3.5 years. But that again is followed by 1,000 years of Christ reigning on the face of this earth. And finally, in our last and final camp we talked about last week, is the post-tribulation dispensationalist who believes the rapture of the church will happen post or after the 7 years of tribulation. That would mean that all Christians would have to suffer all the wrath of God that occurs on the face of the earth through those literal 7 years of tribulation that we see in Revelation chapters 4 through 18. The reason most people are pre-trib dispensationalists is because they believe that the church itself is never mentioned throughout any of those chapters, chapters 4 through 18. The only people who are left on the face of the earth will be the unbelievers and those who become believers at that point in time. But the dispensationalists, like I said, believe in literal 7 years of tribulation, literal 1,000-year Christ reign on the face of this earth. All eight of these views, to me, have some measure of credibility, and they all, I believe, have some measure of truth. But why are there so many different beliefs? I could almost guarantee, before we started this study 5 weeks ago, that you thought that there was only one view of what end times are going to be about. Is the Bible that unclear and mysterious that we cannot know for sure and certain exactly what's going to happen through the prophecies in the book of Revelation and other places? I can assure you that the people who buy into those eight different views, they believe the Bible is perfectly clear about the view that they buy into. But I do need to say this. If Christians can't agree on what we know has already happened, how do you expect us Christians to agree on something that is prophetic and hasn't happened yet? Christians today, think about this. We are still at odds over such issues as divine election, eternal security, baptism, women in church leadership, speaking in tongues, gifts of the Spirit, how a person is justified, how a person is sanctified, etc., etc., etc. You have Presbyterians, you have Baptists, you have United Methodists, you have Lutherans, you have the Church of Christ, you have the Disciples of Christ, you have Nazarenes, you have the Assemblies of God, you have the Church of God, you have the United Church of Christ. And that list goes on and on and on. And all these different denominations who still nitpick over all these issues. Does anyone really expect Christians to agree on what will happen in end times? Things that really haven't even occurred just yet? Here's something I believe we all need to think about. You know that there were 308 prophecies that Jesus fulfilled when he came on this earth in the years that he lived. And did you know that most of those 308 prophecies about Jesus Christ were not fully known until after Jesus Christ had fulfilled them? However, there will be those teachers and those preachers who will absolutely insist that their view of end times is exactly what the Bible teaches. And I will admit that most of these teachers and preachers are much smarter people than what I am. But here's where I got to draw the line. I just don't want those people telling me that I am going to hell if I don't believe what they say is true. And there are people who will say that. To me, eschatology the study of end times, it's not a hill to die on. You can certainly have your belief and I can have mine. And we will certainly remain friends, I hope. So here's the question. So Mike, what do you believe? Are you a full preterist? Are you a partial preterist? Are you a premillennialist? Are you a postmillennialist? Are you an amillennialist? Are you a pre-tribulation dispensationalist, a mid-tribulation dispensationalist, or a post-tribulation dispensationalist? Well, my answer is this. I like a little bit of this, and I like a little bit of that. And I like a little bit of this, and I like a little bit of that. I am a Christian who believes in the words of Jesus in John chapter 14, verses 2 through 3, when Jesus says this, I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. At this point in my life, and at this point in my ministry, that is all that matters. I know this. I am on the winning team. How it pans out, I don't know. Now that we all know that there are many different views and beliefs on end times, I encourage all of us to do research on this wonderful topic that we call eschatology. Weigh the pros and cons. But most of all, I encourage you to read your Bible and ask the Holy Spirit to illuminate your mind while you're in search of the truth. I know a lot of you are thinking, well, Mike, that's kind of a cop-out not to take a stand on what you believe. Well, I can assure you this, that when everything in this book has been fulfilled, it will make perfect sense. Every scripture verse related to end times, be it in the book of Revelation, in the book of Matthew, in the book of Daniel, or other places, every jot and every tittle will fit like a beautifully made quilt. Every piece of God's word will fit perfectly. Every piece of God's word will perfectly line up. And every seam of God's word will be absolutely seamless. And God's word will remain perfect, and it will remain true, and it will remain absolute. At this point in my ministry, I am just not certain what that is, because it hasn't happened yet. But here's the bottom line. Jesus Christ is coming back. Amen? He is coming back. Revelation chapter 22, verse 14. I'll ask the same question it asks in here. Have you washed your robe so that you have the right to the tree of life and go through the gates into the holy city? Has your robe been washed? Only by trusting your life and your eternity to Jesus Christ and to Him alone will this ever, ever be possible. Are you ready? If that day and that hour was right now, today must be our day of salvation. Because we may never, ever get another chance. Today is the day to make sure that you are wearing the right robe to get into and enter the holy city. Let's pray.